All right, how's everybody today? Good, good. Yeah, me too. Well, start off, today is my first year anniversary.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy about that. We did a little vacation last week, and we're all here, and we're here to serve the Lord, and I want to give the Lord glory for that. I'm glad you guys are here today. Wow. Oh, thank you.
All vodka.
Watered down. So, I'm grateful you guys are here. We can serve the Lord and start us off in prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for this good morning. It's a great morning that we can be up and ready to serve you. Think positive and just enjoy our whole day, our whole week, knowing that we can, that we have a church to come to and search the scriptures and fellowship and be in rejoice, as the Apostle Paul was when he was in jail, and we're not. So we can, there's many things to rejoice and enjoy, and we want your word to speak to us and give us the instructions we need and be ready minded, and that the Holy Spirit will open our minds and our hearts to grasp these truths and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so my name's Oscar Ochoa, as you guys know. We are in Colossians chapter 2, and we are going to start in verse 14, but I'm going to kind of recap Colossians because of our rotation. So with the rotation we have, I know there's so much going on. So I want to recap. So Colossians chapter 1, as we know, is the Apostle Paul was in jail, and he was in Ephesus, and someone named Epaphras learned. So he created the church of Colossae. Apostle Paul learned about that, so he's never met them. He was writing them a letter, and what he's writing is that they've been doing so good in the faith, you know, the Colossians, and that he's getting into the, in chapter 1, he's getting into the preeminence of Christ, saying that Christ is the creator, and that we have a new dispensation, which is the dispensation of grace. And into chapter 2, where now we're getting into the warnings. There's three warnings that he's warning this church about, false teachers and false teachings. So that's where we're at now. We were in verse 9. So I just want to recap verse 9 through verse 13, so we could see what we talked about last time we were together. So, and verse 9 is, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," who Jesus Christ does. All of the Godhead bodily, it dwells in him. "And ye are complete in him." We are complete in him. We have none. There's no adding. There's no subtracting. We're complete in Christ. And we're going to see a little more of that in our study. "In him, which is the head of all principality and power." He's over all beings with power, with authority, spiritual and physical. "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." So that's a spiritual circumcision. There's no, this is something new here that the Apostle Paul has brought up. "And putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also," that's a spiritual baptism, "wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him up from the dead," seeing that God has done all this. This is all God's doing. The circumcision, the spiritual circumcision, the spiritual baptism, this is all God's doing. This has nothing to do with men baptizing with somebody, nothing to do with men circumcising and trying to identify as Israel did. This is a whole different set of rules going on here. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So that right there, you have been forgiven all trespasses. Not some, not a little, not half, all. Past, present, and future. And that's, and he has quickened us, made us alive. So So that was what we went over last week, last time we were together. So now we're going to start in verse 14. And just to kind of, so we're going to read it real quick so we can see what we're reading, and then we're going to go over it. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. So we were, so from what we read, now we're going into this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So in that verse right there, there's a lot in there. Okay, there's a lot going on in there. So the blotting out there is to obliterate or disregard. I see it, something painful in one's memory or existence. So the, what is, so he's disregarding and blotting out what? The handwriting of ordinances. So whenever you see handwriting there, you see it's a reference to the handwritten Mosaic law. And when you see the ordinances, those are the laws, the rules and regulations. So now he's obliterating and disregarding the rules and regulations of the Mosaic law. Okay, then whenever you're reading a book, you want to see who's writing it, who are they writing to. So as we see in Colossians, this is Paul. Okay, this is past Acts, and you see that he's writing to believers, and he's writing to believers under the dispensation of grace. So these ordinances, that was against us. So these things were contrary to us, conflicting against us. So the law was contrary to us, conflicting against us. So there's, okay, so what is that? All right. So it was conflicting against us. Here in a bit, we're going to see how it was conflicting against us. But just a kind of overview of what the law is, a quick overview. Where the law was, does anybody know how many laws that Israel had to?
614.
Was it 614? I got 613, but there's over 600 laws that Israel had to go by. And so these were no easy law. They had to do this by the T. Cross every T and dot every I. They had to do this. This was their show of faith. Okay. They had a civil, moral, and a worship law. So they were into three different categories. The civil was, if you want to go to Exodus, verse 21 through 31, that's how they were with each other. The morals were the Ten Commandments. And the worship were the Leviticus laws. So you go to Leviticus and you see all the worship that they had to do and the sacrificing. And it was so intricate. Like you could not do the thing wrong or the Lord was not, he wasn't. See, today we're doing all types of things wrong and messing up. And, you know, back then, if they messed up, they had some big things coming to them. So there's about 600 plus laws. Those five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those five books are what's called the Pentateuch, or it's hard for me to say it, but Penti meaning five, Tach meaning that it's the books, no, the scroll. So these were five, the books of laws, what they were calling them. So this was what Israel was doing, was, you know, that's what the law. The law was enforced for about 1,500 years, which was from Mount Sinai, when they were out there in the wilderness, to the raising up of the Apostle Paul. And the law, you know, after Christ died, the law was still, they were still offering the kingdom. Then Stephen died. Then they had to raise the Apostle Paul, and then that was it. The covenant of law was backed out and then ushered in a new dispensation, which was grace, which I'm totally grateful for that we're under that. So, and grace has been going on for 2,000 years and reveals God's long suffering as he extends his offer to salvation to anyone who trusts in his Son, Jesus Christ. So this is long suffering going on. Lord, you know, we do some bad things today. So the Lord is long suffering to us, and that's what we have today under grace. Because if we were under law, there'd be all types of things going on that we won't like. So, I could go into dispensation, like a difference between law and grace, but we'll just keep going. So now we see that blotting out of handwriting and ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So let's go to Romans chapter 3 to start off our journey here and what we're going to learn a little more about this law, okay? So, about Romans chapter 3, verse 19. So we're going to kind of do like a walkthrough through Romans, and then we're going to do a walkthrough through Galatians. And we're going to kind of do like verses, quick verses, and we're going to see what this has to say. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 19. And see, the law, to keep the law, it was weak and it was contrary to human nature. It condemned men and made men guilty. So this law was something that we cannot keep, that Israel cannot keep, we cannot keep. It was something that would make us guilty. And we're going to find out more about this right now. Chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So we're guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So there goes one thing that we see. We know what sin is because of the law. So, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So you see there that the righteousness of God is without the law now. Now it's not the law they had to follow. Israel had to follow these laws, but today the righteousness is without this. This is purely believing. So let's see. Yeah, I mean, if you look in history with Israel, what happened when they went into the promised land and they started getting judges, right? The book of Judges, the books of the Kings, and the books of Chronicles. You've seen that they were stooped in idolatry. They couldn't keep, they were totally sinning against the Lord, going against the law. Because why? Because I'm sure falling into that idolatry was way easier than following the law. The law was hard. It was hard to follow. So even Israel, God's chosen people, chose to do the easy path, which was idolatry and, oh yeah, this is way easier. You know, and the law was nothing to be played with. And that's why we say today, with such a blessing, that we're not under that. And so, because James 2 says, if you break one law, you're guilty of all of them. And James 2:10, if you want to go and check that out, James 2:10. If you're guilty of one law, you're guilty of all of them. So you're guilty of one of the 600, and you're guilty of all 600. And that's God's word saying it. That's not me. So you can't win. You can't stop breaking it. So for people that say they don't sin, and so now that we're still in Romans, let's go to Romans 5:20. And a lot of you guys know these passages. So we're going to go through this, and we're going to see for good a difference between grace and law. And you're going to see all these things, what God was saying about the law. And you could physically see this, and if you want to share this with, you know, coworkers or others that you meet when they want to open the scriptures, and you can see, you know, bounce back with each other, this is what you can do. And we're going to go through a few of these. So Romans 5, verse 20. And we know these ones. Excuse me. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So when the law entered, the offense might abound. So sin was abounding when, you know, the law makes you sin more. A lot of people don't know that, but that's what it happens. You have a law, you know, and I overheard something called the forbidden fruit syndrome, where you give someone a law, they still want to they want to do it anyways. You know, it's like, oh, don't do this. What do you tell kids? And you tell them not to do something, and they do it. You know, even after you told them not to do it, and they do it. So they, that's just like us. You know, in Israel, that's the same thing, that they told them not to do it, and you would do it. So, moving forward, so moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see that? That's where the Lord came in and intervened for humanity. And where sin abounded, and all these laws and all this sin, the Lord intervened and grace abounded much, 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 much more. So thankful for that. That as sin hath reigned over unto death, which that sin hath reigned, which is the dispensation of law, unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So these are just precious truths that we can go by. Let's do Romans chapter 7, verse 4. So like I said, we're going to kind of just skim through Romans and see these verses together. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who hath raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For we were in the flesh, the motions, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth the fruit of death. So the motions of sin. So, that motions of sin there were by the law. So, all that sin is what the law was creating. Okay, and why? And another reason why the law was created is because we can't just God to show that we need a savior. We need somebody. That's what the law was there for. It's to show that we need a savior. We couldn't do it ourselves. And then show us what we're doing wrong. The knowledge of sin, and the motions of sin. So that's what it's showing us, that the sin moves through the law. And the law kind of agitates at you. And it's, so these are them verses that I'm showing you. If you, the law makes you sin. That's what it does. And Romans chapter 8. So this is just another. And you guys can study this if you guys know him, if you guys seen him before. Do a little study on your own. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're set free. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see that? Was weak through the flesh. The law cannot do what we have today. That it was weak in the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So that is, I think I'm going to go to, that's something similar to what we have in chapter 13 that I'm going to go through. But, 8, 2, 4, that, see, the law is fulfilled in us. So it's not, this is something that, and I'm going to get into what I mean here in a second, but let's go to verse chapter 10. In chapter 10 verse 1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So you see that? The Christ is the end of the law. That is, once Christ died and rose again, and we teach Christ risen, but right now, that's it. Christ was the end of the law. The law was done. You know, Christ fulfilled all those things that the law was typifying. And we'll see that in the verses coming up, but he fulfilled all those promises, all the prophecies, all the everything they would do. You know, there all these laws that they were symbolized, the feasts, the Ark of the Covenant, the just everything, that all their sacrifices was just Christ coming, and he was the end of that. And we're going to see what we mean by that here in a second. So we're going to see that in Romans chapter 13. And this will be our last verse in Romans. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So we love. If you love others, you're fulfilling the law, okay? For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, steal, bear false witness, covet, all these things. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So, Christ had a great love for humanity, and he died for us. So now, we're under love. We're not under the law. So, this love that we have for each other, under grace, you know, that's... So, when you're under... When you become saved, okay, and I was going to say this before, but the unsaved world, they still have a criteria for behavior. You know, they have laws, the unsaved world. But us, once you become, the law means nothing. It's dead, crucified. You still, I mean, and they always say, well, is that license to do stuff if you're not under the law? And obviously it's not. You know, we're not, you know, that's not. But the thing is that we don't have the heavy hand of the law on us. Once you become saved, if you love someone, you're not going to be trying to hurt them or steal from them or kill them, or you're going to follow these commands. That's what God is saying, that the law is not, once you become saved, you're going to want to do these things now. It's not, let me do these things and then I'm saved. Amen. You know, that's not, it's not, let me not commit adultery, let me not kill someone, let me not do all the things, and then I will be saved. You'll never know if you're saved. Right. Never. Never. You'll never actually know. You'll never be sure. You'll never be like, oh, I did enough. You'll never know if you did it in the right way. You'll never know. Because our mediator's through Christ. No man can just say, that's why Christ made it so easy, because you'll never know. You'll never know. So that's why when you become saved, then that love, that Christ was the end of the law, Christ fulfilling the law, you know, doing all the things, and that the law was our schoolmaster that we'll get into, then now you'll want to do these things. And it'll just come natural to you. You want to be loving. You ain't going to want to sin. But for you to, I mean, you can't stop sinning, but you ain't going to want to be doing those. You're going to want to follow these laws. And so that's why we keep these commandments. You ain't going to want to do all that. You know, so... I did once, and the strength of sin, I forgot to, but the strength of sin is the law. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:56. We're not going to go there, but if you want to look that up, 1 Corinthians 15:56, that the strength of sin is the law. And it sounds like crazy, you know, but this is how the Lord, in his genius, I guess, knew how to handle humans. He knew how to handle us, you know, even his chosen people who were like, the best, but they weren't. They were just like you and me, you know, and they sinned probably worse. I mean, we all sin, but like I said, you read through all the Old Testament, Israel was doing some pretty wicked things, you know. Even King Solomon himself, who had he had the best economy going on, which is a type of Christ. When he has his economy, he made altars to his wives, you know, to false gods. So, I mean, this is what they did, and this is why, you know, the Lord in his genius, and we're seeing in the next verse of Colossians, we're just kind of understanding the law right now. I'm just going to, you know, see it. But you'll see that, the Lord had plans for that. He had plans for everything, and his plans are the best that we can ever imagine. So, Galatians chapter 3. I'm kind of going to try and make this, I'm just nailing this in so we can kind of understand all these verses that show us. In Galatians, obviously, they were trying to go back into legalism. So, Apostle Paul said, hey, come back. Come back to your, you know, don't get into that legalistic going on, you know. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. So here we go. We have more going on. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, they're calling it a curse, that the law was a curse. And the curse is a strong word to use. Being made a curse for us, which is Christ, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. As you guys already know, the Gentiles, we were lost back when Israel was in charge. We had to go through Israel, and you know, with this going on, the Lord has brought us into the picture, gave us a spot. So in the same chapter, verse 23, we read, But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law was our schoolmaster. See, the law was never meant to replace faith as the means of finding favor with God. It was given to provide a permanent written moral standard to govern conduct, to expose and identify sin for what it is, and to reveal the holiness of God. The law was a schoolmaster that pointed to Christ, revealing man's need of a Savior because of his unrighteous and sinful condition. So we went through that. The symbolism of the sacrifices, priesthood, and the tabernacle were fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. That's just some beautiful truths that, you know. Let's do Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, here's a thing showing, we know this verse, chapter 4, verse 4, Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, you know, the prophecies, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. See, Christ was under the law. So, a lot of people say that the Lord Jesus Christ came for everyone. He came only to Israel. He only came to the house of Israel. He came unto his own and was made under the law, which the law was Israel. That was all the nation of Israel, everything they were doing. So there goes another verse that you can prove, hey, Christ was made under the law. You know, he was what is it, Matthew 10? He told his disciples to not go to the Gentiles. There was nothing that we had no part in that. We were totally lost. And thank God. And I think I'll jump to a verse here about that, but thank God that we, you know, that the Lord chose that secret, that mystery secret that he brought all of us into, you know. And so anybody, that's just a good one. Galatians 5. I know we're kind of moving here, so I appreciate it. But I thought it would be okay because it's all the same. It's in succession, so ain't a lot of flipping. But this is so you can go through Romans, boom, Galatians. And these are all for our knowledge and understanding to go out into the world and share. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, wherefore in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. There goes free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, that was a bondage. The law was just it's like they couldn't get out of that, you know. It was just a straitjacket of just perpetual, you have to. But now, there's only get saved and you're free. You know, it's that just you just lifted, and this is, and to me, I feel empowered about it. You know, I feel great about it. I go out and I keep that in my mind. I just couldn't imagine how it'd feel if I was like, I better not sin today, because I might. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what kind of way is that living? You know, if I sin today, God's gonna be mad at me. You know, see, God is not, he's all powerful and all knowing. He knows everything you're going to do before you do it. So, you know, it's like, yay, he knows you more than you. So, you know, just follow his word for today. Be a steward. Read his word. If you want God to talk to you today, read his Bible. Read the Bible. If you want God to speak to you, you read the Bible. And if you want to speak to God, you pray. You know, be with other saved, and show people. You know, talk about the Lord to others. Don't feel ashamed or any of that. Because a lot of people get afraid of, oh, this person's cool, so let me watch what I say. It's like, nah, this person don't like what you say, then maybe you shouldn't be hanging out with that person. You know what I mean? If they don't like what you're saying, hey, there's a billion other people out there. You know? So, yeah, and we get caught up in that. You know, I'm sure we all do. And don't be ashamed of this, because this has power. And this will make you feel better. Day by day, every single day, this will make you feel better. This will make you assured, that full assurance that we talked about in the earlier chapters. You got that full assurance that you know that this word is solid, and you can count on this day by day, every single day, and feel good about it. All right, the yoke of bondage, verse 2, chapter 5. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. See, they were trying to go into circumcision. See, Christ, and remember, circumcision was their main identification, that Israel was Israel, and the Gentiles were not part of that. That was that main identification. So Paul is saying here, you get circumcised, you ain't getting no profits. Nothing is okay. And that's what he's telling the Galatians, because they're trying to go back into that. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. There goes another verse saying, if you're going to be circumcised, you got to do all the rest of the laws. Man, so I don't know what you're doing. So you got more to go if you're going to keep, it's not right. So Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. That's plain English. You know what I mean? That's not even like, if you, if you, so I'm going to say that if you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. So that's, if you're saying the law is your justification, then you're fallen from grace. I mean, that's plain for me to see. So, and there's, like I said, there's no way to keep the whole law. I mean, what was it? They had to do temple worship. So you got to do temple worship now. So if you're going to follow the law, you got to go to temple and do worship. You got to kill animals, sacrifice them. And there's a priesthood. So there's none of that. So if you ain't doing them three, then, and if you're following, if you're trying to do the other law, you got to do them three. You have to do all that and plus more. So you're, good luck trying to follow the law to the T, because you can't. You know, and that's not for today. And a lot of people are like, well, you're saying law, you know, is it, it's kind of a big thing. Well, you'd be surprised. We're one of billions of people, right? You know, like a few here. Well, you'd be surprised how many ideologies are out there. You know what I mean? Like, they just think, people think that they, there's so many, you know. We see our thing and we're like, well, we're not like that. And there's not a lot of people like that, but the people have ideology that you wouldn't even believe. And they're just, and it's, you know, man's way to God instead of God's way to God. Can't think of the word, but yeah, that's what happened with Cain and Abel. Abel went God's way to God, and Cain went to his own way to God. And that's what the self-righteousness, that's what's happening today. And a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm following the Bible. Well, a lot of people, you could follow the Bible and still go to hell. Because if you don't believe that, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and if you don't believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you don't believe that, that gospel, and if you try to believe another gospel, then you're going to hell. I mean, I don't mean it to be rude. I mean it to be sincere, and I mean it to say it out of the kindness of my heart. Because if you know someone's going to a place like that, wouldn't you have it in yourself to be like, "Come on, man, you don't do that. All right, let's have a conversation here. You show me what you got, and I'll show you what I got, and we can talk about this." You know, it's that serious. You know, it's really that serious. Eternal torment is serious. So, but we have to be as men, and we have to be strong as Christians. You know, and keep our head high, and don't let the emotions of problems get in our way. And we should be stern in what we believe and think wisely about our situations. Because it's easy to get blinded with our emotions and you know, because we know people that are not saved or whatever, and it's like, okay, well, you have to lift yourself high and know that it's all right. You know, that the Lord has a plan. So, and you just keep following what you're doing and do what's right. All right, so. Well, I went through that. That was good. I'm still learning, so I'm like seeing how far I can get to, you know. I'm sure a lot of people who learn about grace and they learn about these things, they're like, man, how come it never clicked before? I'm sure it's like they feel good about it. It's like, dang, I really have, like, freedom. You know, you're free. The truth sets you free, and this is the truth right here. So, and this is Paul, you know, a lot of people say, why Paul? Why are you making such a big deal of Paul? Well, Paul, it's not Paul. This is Christ. Christ just used Paul. That's not, just like he used Moses. And just like he used all the other, everyone else, just like he used King David, he's using Paul, and it's different today. And it was a secret. It's that simple. I mean, there's a bunch of things that say it's a secret, and that it was kept a secret for a purpose. You know, it's not for Because Satan, he had to handle Satan. He had to handle all these things. He had to handle everything in succession. So now us as Gentiles, we get the goodies, all spiritual blessings. You know, so they always want to say, why Paul? Well, it's not about Paul. Christ used Paul, and we're preaching Christ resurrected. So Christ is not around no more. Christ is in heaven. It's, you know, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and now he's using Paul as our, and Paul understood all these beautiful truths. Peter never understood these. Peter was, you know, he didn't understand none of the stuff we got going on. And he was the leader of the apostles, and most of the world wants to go to the 12 apostles and listen to them, but even the leader couldn't understand, you know. And so thank God we have an apostle for us, because there was no apostle for us. We were done. You know what, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at this real quick to kind of grasp all this, to show the difference between Israel and Gentile and what's going on today. And we know these verses. It's just so good to get back into them and to kind of... Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision... So the Gentiles were uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So that was made by hands. That was different. That's different than how we're without hands. Okay? That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That's Gentiles. Aliens. Okay? From the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. That's what we had. No hope. And without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So we had a wall that was between Israel and Gentile. There was nothing. God was choosing Israel. He was made under the law. Jesus Christ was made under. It was all about Israel. And it's going to be back when a tribulation happens, and then the millennial reign, and that's Israel. 1,000-year reign. So keep moving forward. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, which is enemy. It's like an enemy, even the law of commandments. That's the law contained in ordinances. He abolished that. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. See, he made peace between Israel and the Gentiles. And he abolished the law, and he made a new creature for today, for the body of Christ. There's a whole different thing going on. The body of Christ is a whole different thing than the nation of Israel and all their promises. Under the body of Christ, Christ is the head, because we're the body. Under Israel, Christ is the king, their promised Messiah king, and that he's going to be their high priest, and he's going to rule over them. And that's an earthly thing, as we know, and the heavenly is that he's going to be the head of the body of Christ, and and that's our spot. Amen. We got heaven, you know, and I'm down with that. So that's what I got with that. So let's go back to Colossians. So in Colossians, as we were saying, Paul is warning these Colossi believers that there are people who are doing false teaching, and that's obviously rampant today. And the crazy thing is a lot of people are sincere. You know, they believe that what they're saying is true, but it's scary because sometimes it's not. You know, and I believe that it's our duty, if you know what's right and you know what's true, I think it's our duty to say something. You know, and it's sometimes it's not easy and sometimes we don't do it, but I believe that. So, verse 15. So this is the verse of one of the verse 15. I'll just read it. And having there was three warnings, and one of them is verse 16, which we'll probably go over, but real quick. But and verse 18. But this is, and having spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So that's the principality and powers are spiritual rulers. Christ openly exposed them and won over them. Now this verse was part of the Genesis 3:15 that it was going around, and we were learning about the seed of the woman and all this. And I don't think this is, in my opinion, I don't think this one is part of that. But I do think that the bruising of the heel was Calvary. But this right here, openly, this verse 15, and having spoiled, he spoiled them and made a show of them openly. It's like Christ is saying, huh, you see, you thought you had me, but I got you. You know what I mean? And he's just like, that wasn't predicted. To me, that is something Pauline. That is Paul's truth that was revealed to us through Paul. And that was something not predicted. And that's just to me. So he's just out there saying, yep, you think you got me, but I got you. And that's Jesus, you know, triumphing for us. So, and we know the principalities and powers are, them guys are probably really mad. And they're like, dang, our doom is more set now. You know what I mean? Our doom is more like legit now. So, verse 16: Let no man therefore judge you in meat. This is one of the warnings. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days. So. This is a truth that we don't want nobody to rob us of. We are complete in Christ alone. Amen. We don't need to do these things. We don't have to follow these. It's right here in the book. Mm-hmm. Sabbath days, new moons, all these festivals, all these have-tos. Now, if you're going to do them, then I guess that's... I mean, I'm not all the way there how sinful it is to do them. I mean, this is saying, let no man therefore judge you and me. So if I'm not doing them things, then, because I don't believe I should be doing it, I don't think I should be judged for that, because like we've seen in the verse before, we're not under these ordinances. You know what I mean? We're not under the law. We're not, I mean, back then, those things were necessary. Keeping the Sabbaths, doing all these holy festivals, you know, all these feasts. Doing all these things, those were necessary for salvation. You had to do that. Today, it's not. It's only believing. That's how simple the Lord made it for us. He made it simple for us, the simplicity in Christ. He made it that easy that we could just believe, you know, and that, yeah, there's carnal Christians. That's why we have a book, Corinthians, to teach us that and to be like, okay, well, sometimes we're going to do some carnal things. But that's where the Lord seen that was it. He seen how Israel was. He made that secret. He, you know, the mystery program. And that now we are under that long suffering of grace. That's why we should have it in us to serve the Lord on ourselves. Not because we want to follow the law. Because we want to do it out of ourselves out of love one of another. For love of others. Love of the Lord, love, that's what the Lord had of us, and that's how we want to, you know, do what's right. Not because we want to follow the law. You know, it's because we want to follow what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose, and if you believe that, you're going to go to heaven. And and right now, you have that full understanding that full assurance that you have that. So you can walk, you know, with your head high and be feel good about it instead of, I gotta go and confess my sins, you know? That's, I don't think so. I don't have to confess my sins to no father, to nobody. I don't have to, the Lord knows my sins. I'm under grace. All trespasses that you've seen there in verse 13 in Colossians, forgiving you all trespasses. All trespasses. So, these holy days, you know, don't let anybody tell you what you can eat or drink. You know, we're not under them set of rules. So, you know, holy is, you know, them holy days, is, we all know what that, that's a set aside, set apart, you know, holy to God. And that's what was going on in Colossians. They were having their Judaizers, yeah, Israel, the guys, them guys were coming in probably, you know, telling them, hey, you have to follow the law, and they're like, no, we don't have to follow the law because we have some brand new, and you know, you don't have to do none of that. Baptized, circumcised, we've seen that it's a spiritual baptism, spiritual circumcision. And that in verse 17, which are the shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So these were shadows. All them things before, all them holy days, and all them things were shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have Him. So why are we still doing the shadows when we already have the real thing now? And He already fulfilled what was needed. It wasn't, even though His triumph, that, you know, the mystery program, and, you know, we're under grace, was a secret, but it was fulfilled. So we have all that. And that was for us, the Gentiles. You know, that was that's a special thing when you think about it. You know, well, as the body of Christ, it was for us and Israel. It wasn't just for them. So, so if you have anybody that you wanted to talk to about it, these are verses that you can show them and be like, hey, look, what do you think about this? You know, do you think this part of Scripture is just as holy as the Old Testament? Or is the Old Testament, or is that part of Scripture what you're reading is more holy than this? I think all of it is, God has set His word above all His name. This whole Bible, if you're reading it in one book and you're going to read it in the other, you can't just listen to one side and not go to the other. This whole book is written for edification and for saving others. So, I just want to say thank you for letting me be up here, and I hope you guys got something out of it. You can take it to family and friends, and yeah, so thank you, and I'll close this off in prayer, and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity that we can hear your word, let your word speak, and the Holy Spirit can teach each and every one of us and guide us to what the truth really is, and to obviously it's for all your glory, and just thankful and appreciative for all the blessings that we really have. In Jesus' name, amen.